Now let's continue on right here in Philippians, the third chapter. Let's review verse 9 again. Now this becomes important because this is the epitome of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the promise is, they shall be filled. And what is that filling going to be? Eternal life. Verse 9. And may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ, from faith unto faith, the righteousness of God that is based on faith. Now, isn't that a tremendous thing that God does? That he gives us the strength and the power to do this through his Holy Spirit? Yes, indeed. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now notice, the hungering and thirsting is epitomized right here. Verse 11. If by any means, see, because the ultimate righteousness will not come until we're spirit beings. Okay? If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already received or have already been perfected, but I am striving. Notice he brings out it is a process. Okay? So all of those who believe in once saved, always saved, and once you have so-called been converted, now you're born again, then why all the striving? Why all the requirement of perfecting, see? So that I may also lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself as having attained. Now that knocks into a cocked hat, once saved, always saved, doesn't it? Right there. But this one thing I do, see, single-minded, single purpose, always focusing on the goal, always changing and overcoming, see. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, everything of your past life, everything that happened. Now, there's a very interesting quote that is right on the single blank page of this new book I'm reading. He said that everyone should be concerned about the future because that's where we live. Not the past. If you live in the past, could have, should have, would, all those things, forget all of those things. Forget all the mistakes. Forget all the difficulties. Forget all the sins. Ask God to cleanse your mind of it. And especially today, that people have had their minds bombarded by things that just never existed even 30 or 40 years ago, though we had movies. You know, you watch some of these oldie but goodie movies, they know how to speak. And they didn't swear and curse. And they were all thin. And I always tease Dolores once in a while on it because she likes to watch the oldies and goodies, and I say, you're watching a bunch of dead people. Okay. But forgetting all those things that are behind. Now, what you do is this. You remember the lesson. Do not relive it emotionally. Do not bring up past anger and hatred, see? Do not bring up past sorrows and difficulties, see? You forget those things behind. That comes with the washing of the water by the word, see? And the thing is this, spiritually speaking, we are to be perfected, but we are also like children. We make a lot of mistakes. Now, God is not going to remember those. That's why we're told to forget them. Concentrate on what you need to concentrate on. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, see? He says, and reaching forth to the things that are ahead. And that's the best way to overcome all the evil in the world and all the bad news that's going on. Keep your mind focused on why you are called, why we are here, where we are going, what we are doing, how Jesus is working with us, how God is working with us from faith unto faith, that we may have the righteousness of Christ. Okay? Keep focused on that. Don't waste present time and future time with pollution from the past and sin. Okay? If you've repented, wipe it away. Then he says this, I press toward the goal that is driven by spiritual hungering and thirsting for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. High calling, think of it. Now, next time you see all these big important mucky mucks on television, or say like the G20, they all get together, or presidents and prime ministers get together, or all of these great elite financial people, okay? Think of this. By the grace of God, God is going to exalt us over them. Think of that. Not because we're great, but because of Christ. So it is a high calling to rule the world. What is it going to be like to be told, you be ruler over this city, you be ruler over 10 cities, you over 2 cities, and, you know, you do this or you do that. There are going to be so many jobs to do and so many things to fulfill. And remember, after the kingdom of God is set up, there is going to be an explosion of people multiplying and bringing forth babies. And it's not going to be painful like it is today. There will be a little bit of pain. But God, in creating the heavens that are so great with trillions and trillions and trillions of galaxies, he is going to make his family so great. You know, God doesn't do anything in vain. He's made the universe for a purpose. And he has called us for that purpose, see? That's a tremendous thing to keep in mind. Always have it at the forefront of your mind, see? So then when the kingdom of God is set up, they're going to be children, boom, 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 boom. And the health is going to be so good that women are still going to be strong and virile and vital, you know. They won't be all haggard out and beaten up and worn down. Okay? And then they'll live their life to the full, and then one day they'll come to church, and okay, on this Sabbath, we're going to have a going-out party. Really? All the little kids are in the back. What's going to happen, Mommy? You just wait and see. What's Grandma doing up there? Well, you just wait and see. Okay? And then it's going to happen. Whatever the ceremony will be, then they'll be changed from flesh to spirit. Enter into the spirit world. Now, you talk about inspiring kids. Won't that be inspiring? Okay? And then Mama looks down and says to the little boy or girl, did you see what happened to Grandma? Yeah. Wasn't that a fantastic thing? Yes. Would you like to do that someday? Yes. Will you be a good boy or a good girl? Oh, I will. You can see everything's going to be changed. All right, let's go ahead here. Now then, pressing toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So then, let as many as be perfect. You cannot be perfect in the flesh, but you can have a perfect attitude. You can have a perfect motivation. See? Be of this mind, from faith unto faith. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. Now, let me stop here and explain something very important that you need to understand. All right. You're baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit, Everything is going along fine. Everything is good. Everything is wonderful. And then all of a sudden you find out that you still have evil thoughts in your mind. Now, what is happening? How is it that you go along and all of a sudden, here's this evil thought that comes into your mind. Maybe it's been there a long time, somewhere buried deep in your mind. How did that happen? I wasn't thinking anything along those lines like that. Here's how it happened. God will reveal even this to you. What is part of the work of the Holy Spirit in your mind? If it's going to lead you into righteousness, then it has to also help lead you out of sin, correct? So through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is revealing this sin to you so that you may repent of it. And when you do, then you understand how sinful sin really is. See? God will reveal even this to you. So keep that in mind. Don't think, oh, was my baptism valid? But of course it was valid. Well, why do I have this evil thought? Because you need to get rid of it, and God is revealing it to you. Hey, now that's a good proposition, isn't it? So go repent. Verse 17. No. Verse 16, rather. Nevertheless, in regard to that which we have attained, because we have attained to a certain degree, haven't we? Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, be imitators together of me. And bear in mind those who walk in this way as you have us for an example. Now, this verse we've all lived through, verse 18. For many walk contrary. I have often told you of them and tell you now with weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And the only thing we can do is ask God to bring them repentance. Now, I remember, you know, we've been in church a long, long time. Okay? I was baptized October 19th, 1960. Okay? So this coming October will be 53 years. Okay? First come in the church, everything's wonderful, everything's good, you know. And at that time, the church was doing a whole lot better than it's doing nowadays because they were actually following what God said. But later the things came in because, you say, they didn't have this kind of hungering and thirsting after righteousness to keep on the track that they needed to be on. And so we all thought how wonderful this is going to be, what a great thing it's going to be. Oh, look, and Dolores and I, right after we were married, you know, we even looked at each other and said, oh, isn't it going to be wonderful? We're not going to get old. Okay, because we thought Christ was going to return in our lifetime, see. Okay, we remember that when we go up and down the steps now. Okay. So, but we have seen those people, and some of them, a real astonishing surprise, right? That after, and some of them, you even ministers, you heard them speak. And how could they give up on the truth? And how could they turn their back on the Sabbath and go back to Sunday? And go back to Christmas? Like one wife of a local under said, oh, I was so glad when they said it's all right to have Christmas because I really missed having the Christmas tree in the house and the smell of the evergreen. Okay? Now I hope that they repent. Otherwise, see, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, anything that's fleshly, see, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind earthly things. But for us, the commonwealth of God exists in the heavens. That's the whole plan and working of God. from where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile bodies so that they may be conformed to his glorious body. Now, the next time you attend a funeral and you look at the person there in the coffin, if they have an open coffin, okay? And you think about this person's life, however long they lived. Maybe they were faithful, maybe they were really righteous, maybe they were really good. And if you can, in your own mind, sort of roll back the time and see if you can remember when this person was young and vibrant and all of this sort of thing, see? And then you look in the coffin here, and here's the person, old, withered, dried up. And that's just like it says concerning human life. We're like a flower that fades away, the wind comes along, and the blossom drops off. Let's not mind the earthly things, but let's look at what God is going to do, because we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 15, even though this comes a little bit on Pentecost. We'll cover some of it again. Who will transform our vile bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body according to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. See? Now, that is the end result of righteousness. All right, we'll take just a little bit here and go to 1 Corinthians 15. And since I cover this on Pentecost, I won't spend too much time on it. But this is what Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians 15, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 42. Verse 42. Now, how much of you does God need to reconstitute you? Okay? Because the resurrection is not going to be the same physical body. Can't be. Think about the next time you see a documentary on the horrors of human cruelty to other humans, and you have racks of skeletons and bones and skulls. Think about all of those who have been eaten by sharks, who died in the high seas. It's not going to be the same body. So the question is, how much does God need to reconstitute you? Well, even physically, all your genes and chromosomes are on every single part of you. Piece of skin, a little saliva, a little bit of the brain. You only need just a speck. See? So that's why when we die, the spirit goes back to God. And God takes that spirit that now needs a new mind and a new body, and that's how you're going to be resurrected or reconstituted. All right? All right, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now, I don't know how an undertaker can handle what he does. I could never be an undertaker. So here comes in, we'll just say, a normal death, okay? Not one all mangled from an accident or, you know, blown up with a bomb or whatever, okay? And here's this body. What does he have to do? He has to take all the inner fluids out of it. Otherwise, if he didn't, poof, the body would explode. Okay? And all the things they do to embalm a person. Now, they do this so that they won't make any mistakes of burying people who have been alive. Now, the Egyptians used to have an instrument that they would reach up and pull out the brain. Okay? And reach in and pull out the heart and all the innards. And guess what's on the inside? the worst kind of corruption you would ever want. Just think about how bad it is when you are really sick and you got to go whoop, vomit, and you got to go whoop, all of this, run into the bathroom, taking your temperature, trying to cool down. You feel miserable and rotten. Your breath is horrible. Your eyes are terrible. Your hair is all standing on end. And you look in the mirror and you think, what a horrible thing I am, you know. And you had all the women are there trying to make themselves beautiful when they're not sick, right? Okay. Just think of the guy who works in the mortuary. The Undertaker. That's a good name for him, the Undertaker. All right. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory, to shine as the sun. It is sown in weakness. If you die, that's weakness, isn't it? Yeah, totally. Okay. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And the very body that you have and you walk around with, if you're converted and faithful to the end, that's a guarantee you will receive a spiritual body. Now just think how great that is going to be. Now we don't know how that is going to work. I mean, if our physical body works so good and lasts for so long, don't you think that the next product has got to be so far superior to last forever? Yes, indeed. Okay. Verse 45, accordingly it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became an ever-living spirit. However, the spiritual was not first, but the natural. Then the spiritual, see? The first man is of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the one made of dust, so also are all of those who are made of the dust. As is the heavenly one, so are also all those who are heavenly. Now, what is it going to be like to be a spirit being and walk through walls? You know, for all you women who are in the resurrection, you're not going to have to stand there and let a man who's in the resurrection open the door for you. You just walk through it. Okay? As we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Then he says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, and it is. It's God's secret. How is he going to do it? See? We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And that's how our bodies are going to be transformed. Isn't that going to be great? For all of those of us who have had all the pain and agony of trying to lose weight all of our lives, it will be gone at the resurrection. And that's why when you're resurrected, you're going to say, hallelujah. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Now, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So this is why we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is the goal. This is the end here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.